lights out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what he was speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two Soft Compounds.
Hello, I am Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the Two Soft Compounds, and we are looking back at the Mexico Grand Prix from last weekend. Of course, Max Verstappen, we'll touch on him first because he put it on pole. It was a great lap, a very quick lap, but I feel like he kind of put himself in a weird position by admitting that he didn't lift during the yellow flag moment. So Bottas had the big crash, of course. Bottas was relatively safe in his car, in his safety cell, however, and there were no marshals on track at that point, but you know, a yellow flag's there for a reason. He didn't lift. He admitted he didn't lift in a few interviews and, of course, in the press conference as well. So then he got the penalty. So was that the reason? Did he kind of talk himself into a penalty there, do you think?
I hope not, actually, because I think the main reason for having a yellow flag is because you need to be prepared to slow down or stop. And if you're not lifting on a qualifying lap, then you're definitely not doing either of those things. And he comes around that corner. All right, it's not the fastest corner in the world, but he's still doing 80 kilometres an hour and it's blind. So he doesn't know if there's a marshal on track. He doesn't know if Bottas has stepped out of the car and is now in the firing line. So I think he should definitely have got the penalty purely for a safety point of view. Whether he admitted it, I mean, he did admit it, obviously, that he didn't lift. That probably didn't help him. But he definitely should have got the penalty because it's all about safety. I had a mate of mine, and this is karting. This is, you know, go-karts doing 60 miles an hour. But he lost his foot when someone came out of a fast right-hand bend and he was on the circuit trying to recover a kart. Yeah, he got hit and in the end with complications had to have his foot amputated, for crying out loud. So, uh-huh. I mean, you multiply that by the speed and the weight of a Formula One car, uh-huh. Incredibly dangerous, should always issue the fine. But my whole mindset with Max has changed since the summer break. Into the summer break, you know, he had the wins in Austria and he, you know, he was doing well. He looked as though Red Bull were on the uppers. They had the new engine coming from Honda. They'd made some aerodynamic tweaks. They looked a lot stronger. Those tweaks, engine and aero, didn't necessarily pay off. But since the summer break, Max has gone back to the way he was at the start of last season. Just gung-ho. Just kind of like, I don't care. I'm coming through whether you like it or not type mentality. And I think it's starting to really show. You've got Albon in the other car, who's now outscoring him in the second part of the season, mainly because he's calm, cool and collected and isn't making stupid errors. Max is.
And here's my question on that. Is it because of Albon? Has Albon joining the team been a much better quality than Gasly straight away? You know, he's basically come out of the box and been brilliant, hasn't he, Albon? Is that rattle, Max? Is that a Vettel and Leclerc situation where, you know, that's just put him on the back foot a bit?
Maybe. I mean, but you'd think Max had been around long enough to believe that he was the number one driver, which he clearly still is, and believe that he'd got the raw talent and speed, which he has, not to be flustered by that. I mean, I understand his disappointment at starting fourth on the grid in Mexico after putting it on pole. Ironically, if he had taken his foot off the gas and lifted, he would have still got pole because the time had already been set. That was, again, another arrogant error on his part. You know, I'm sticking my foot in. I'm going for it. I'm Max Verstappen. And then I'll admit it in the press conference. Well, no, actually, if you'd have backed off, you still would have had pole. And, you know, you now look like a spoilt brat.
Yeah, he did. He actually said that in the press conference as well. They said about the safety issue. And he said, I saw Bottas. And they said, but did you see the yellow flag? And he just went, I saw Bottas. He repeated himself. And then he said, and they said, did you lift? And he went, no. And he said, but delete that lap then. He said, even the other lap was good enough. So delete that lap. And it was kind of like, it was just a very bizarre, he felt very aggressive and kind of like he was on the back foot and wasn't enjoying the questions. And I think he knew what he'd done was wrong and wasn't enjoying being questioned about it, maybe. But yeah, you're right. It did come across very, you know, very spoilt bratish. And there was a comment that Lewis made in the press conference as well about, I gave Max plenty of room, which is the best thing to do with Max. Yeah. Again, that's Lewis basically saying he loves, like you've said, he loves a gung-ho move lately. So just give him plenty of room because he's coming through whatever happens.
You know, it's ironic, isn't it? You know, Max's behaviour, I thought, in qualification and at the start of the race was woeful. It was bully boy tactics, it really was. But then, of course, he has this amazing drive to go from last place right up to the finish that he had on one set of tyres that he made last 66 laps, I think, which is amazing. So there's the raw talent, But, you know, get rid of this spoilt brat attitude, because you're right, he hates answering adverse questions in press conferences. He looks like a scolded schoolboy.
It was, you know, a drama-filled couple of laps as well. And then obviously on, I think it was lap five, he overtook Bottas, didn't he, in the stadium section, which, like you said yesterday, last week on the podcast, nothing exciting ever happens in the stadium section. Even David Coulthard was saying in the commentary he'd looked away from the screens because he knew that nothing ever happens in the stadium section. And as he looked back, he's like, oh, wow, hang on, Verstappen's gone past. So, you know, incredible move. It caused a puncture, though, which caused all the drama of him then going off and, like you say, doing the 66 laps. But an interesting race, I think, for Verstappen. But you're right, I think he's like Leclerc was just before the summer break, where it's almost like, right, calm down, just go away and think about it, you know, get your mental game together. You're a brilliant driver, you're fast, you're quick, you know, just chill out, calm down, your time will come. And Leclerc has, you know, he's kind of gone backwards and forwards between those roles as well, I think, this year, where he was a bit like this before the summer break, then got his head together and was brilliant. Now he's gone a bit wobbly again and a bit kind of getting angry on the radio. And it's interesting, isn't it, because they're all young, and you know, we've said many times on this podcast, these guys are sort of 19 to 22 years old, that sort of range. They're all very young. You think back to how you were at that age, you know, I was the same. I was, you know, I wouldn't say I was aggressive, but I was, you know, I was, I'm doing it my way, and this is what, you know, I know best. And all that. And you think you know best at that age because you've just become an adult and you think you know everything. And that's where, you know, your Vettels and your Lewis's, they have that beautiful experience in there as well to go alongside a little bit of spoiled bratness to sort of level it all out a bit.
Yeah, basically, Mexico should have been Ferrari's race. But once again, they made the wrong strategy call. And we've seen this time and time again from the Ferrari team this season. Getting the strategy wrong has probably cost them. Well, it's definitely cost them the constructors. But certainly in the back end of the season, they've had the fastest car. And these strategy calls are now really starting to show glaring faults with what's happening within the team. Because, you know, Mercedes say that they didn't expect the tyres to last when they made on the one-stop strategy. Mercedes always say that. Going into every weekend, you know, Toto Wolff says, oh, I'm very worried about this weekend, even if, you know, it's clear that they're going to dominate every session. So I think Mercedes knew that the one-stop would work, and I don't understand why Ferrari didn't consider it, because if you were up against the Ferraris, as Mercedes were, the only real way past them was to do it in the pit stops, and they figured it out fairly quickly. And that's what they put into place. Don't know why Ferrari didn't anticipate that that's what Mercedes would do.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds.
Lots of nightmare pit stops as well over the weekend. Of course, McLaren had a nightmare with their wheel. Alfa Romeo had a nightmare with their wheel as well. It was very, they said in the commentary on Channel 4, do you think, you know, it's that part of the season where they're all a bit tired and they're making mistakes. And it was kind of discussed that, no, that isn't the reason. You know, these guys are at the top of their game and, you know, they wouldn't be tired. They wouldn't go into a weekend fatigued or anything like that. But there did seem to be an unusual amount of wheels not getting put on properly. I think the Alpha one looked the most scary because they kind of dropped the car down and the wheel kind of went sideways, didn't it? And pinged off. It's like, wow, okay. And I think with Lando, it was just not put on correctly, was it? So luckily enough for him, he didn't leave the pit lane. So they could bring him back. And did you notice when they were wheeling him back, by the way, one of the mechanics was standing on the front wing and just push. And I was like, wow, they're strong. They've got to go through a certain amount of stress testing those wings. But I could not believe a grown adult could stand on that wing and have no effect on it whatsoever. Yet it will hit another car in a corner at the wrong angle and ping, all the bits come flying off. And
yeah, that did surprise me. I thought they'd be really quite fragile from that sort of overhead weight load. I thought it would just, you know, crack the carbon fibre. So, that was amazing. One thing, my missus watched this race with me. Now, actually, this race isn't a good one for me because the evening races in the UK, which is normally Mexico and America, which is next week, coincide with my Sunday afternoon in the pub. So we actually watch the race in the pub, and then for clarity of mind, I have to rewatch it on the Monday morning for the podcast.
And did it seem a better race when you'd had a drink or when you were sober?
it was in between talking about other things with other people, you know, but me mostly looking at the screen in the pub. And I thought it was an enjoyable race from first impressions. But one thing my missus said, when they retired Norris, she said, I don't understand this. You only get points if you finish in the top 10. I said, yeah. She said, and you only get a certain amount of engines each year. I said, yeah. She said, so if you're 11th with no chance of catching 10th, why don't you just park up the car? And why don't the whole field from 11 to 20 do exactly that? Because it seemed like they retired Norris for no specific reason. Seems like they realised they weren't going to get in the points. They realised they wanted to maybe save some engine wear and just park it up. Why don't more teams do that?
So you could argue, I think the only point, I agree with that, but the only point you could argue against is that race at Monaco that time when you had, I think, the first seven or eight cars all stopped or broke down or crashed, and you had a different leader on each lap. You know, so when you got seven cars in that predicament, you never know what's going to happen in terms of an accident in the midfield, I guess. So if you're even 13th, 14th, 15th, you know, if there's a big shunt ahead of you and you lose four or five cars, all of a sudden you're in the points, aren't you? So I guess that's why they carry on. But yeah, I agree.
It's
that,
not
you know,
within the spirit of racing, no, is it? Yeah. The spirit is to carry on and regardless. But, you know, it's a valid point.
Yeah,
you know?
No, totally. And I think
you,
that is...
You were Kubica...
Yeah.
I mean, why even start the race?
I was going to say, if you were Kubica, I'd watch it in the pub with you, I think. Just leave the car in the pit lane and go to the pub.
Two soft compounds.
To be fair, though, at the end of the race, 65 laps in, I think it was, I noticed on the screen the top four were all kind of like a second or two apart. So it was very close at the end. Bearing in mind they've done 65 laps at that point. And a lot of the teams did go on these tyres for, like you said, you know, 60, 65, 66 laps, like a long tyre stint. And of course, my favourite part of the race, which was something I wasn't expecting, and it was at the podium at the end when Bottas comes on and then Vettel comes on. And I was actually looking, going, where's Hamilton? I can't see him behind the camera crew there where the other two have just come on from. Then all of a sudden this music, and... And next minute, Lewis comes up from the bottom of the stage like he's in the Spice Girls or something. And he's standing there with his victory fingers in the air. Then his car comes up and appears. I was like, what's happening here? This is Liberty Media going crazy, isn't it, with this spectacle? It was. Why did they just decide to do that at Mexico? It was so bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the first time they haven't used the, you know, the staging that they have every race for the podium celebrations. They had this, you know, big LED screen behind them. And they had, and I'm hoping this has now been tried and will be resoundingly sent to the scrap heap, Selfie Man.
Mm.
Yeah, in the Mexican race suit with the white Stig-like helmet, who came on and wanted to take selfies. Vettel clearly didn't know what was going on and pushed him off the podium, which I thought was brilliant. We don't need that sort of gimmick, I don't think. But, you know, the spectacle of it was pretty good, and we know that America this weekend is Liberty's home race. They've already done it before where they had the boxing MC announce the drivers, which was bizarre.
That was cringe, isn't it?
Yeah, so, you know, God knows what they've got planned for this coming weekend in Austin, but we'll have to wait and see. Just before we leave Mexico, I think decent enough race for Sergio Perez. Home race did pretty well. Danny Ric, after a few problems, did quite well. Sainz, I thought, would have done better. It was great to see him in fourth place in the opening lap, battling his way through all the shenanigans that went on in those first few corners. I was disappointed he didn't finish slightly higher, but obviously that, I suppose, shows the top three teams against the number four team in terms of speed, in terms of aerodynamics, and it's just not good enough for McLaren quite at the moment, but they're going to develop that car.
So we're moving on to the American Grand Prix next week. Before we do that, let's get some Mexico post-race stats with our stats man. You can follow him on Twitter at Lights Out, and across the weekend he's got loads of good blogs and stuff on his website if you want to check him out. And here he is with all the post-race Mexico stats.
Mercedes record their 100th win, Hamilton records his 100th Mercedes podium, and Perez scores for the 100th time. Here are some of the best statistics from the 2019 Mexico Grand Prix weekend. While Lewis Hamilton recorded his 83rd career victory, Mercedes recorded their 100th Formula One win. It comes 23,857 days after their first victory at the 1954 French Grand Prix. They're the fourth team to reach a century of wins, and the first to do so since Williams recorded their 100th victory at the 1997 British Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton finished on the podium for the 100th time with Mercedes. He's only the second driver to have taken 100 podiums for a single team. Michael Schumacher took 116 podium finishes with Ferrari. Starting from third on the grid, Hamilton became the first driver to win the Mexico Grand Prix, having not started on the front row since Alain Prost in 1990. It was the first time the driver starting third has won in Mexico since Jackie Ickx in 1970. Interestingly, pole has been converted to a win only 5 times from the 18 races held so far in 2019. Max Verstappen's Saturday penalty saw Ferrari take their 6th consecutive pole position. It's the first time they've taken 6 successive poles since the 2007 Spanish Grand Prix. If they take pole position at the United States Grand Prix, it'll be only the 3rd time in their history that they've taken 7 consecutive poles. The last time they reached that many successive poles was at the 2001 Brazilian Grand Prix. Sergio Perez equaled his best home race result with a 7th place finish. With that result, he became the 15th driver to score points in 100 Grand Prix. It's the second race in a row that a driver has celebrated their 100th point scoring appearance, with Valtteri Bottas having scored for the 100th time, last time out, in Japan. And finally, before the 2019 Mexico Grand Prix, two previous races had been held on the 27th of October. In both, the driver who finished as runner-up went on to win the title 3 years later. Jack Brabham finished second in the 1963 Mexican Grand Prix before taking the title in 1966, while Nico Rosberg finished second in the 2013 Indian Grand Prix before winning the title in 2016. It was Sebastian Vettel who finished as runner-up this time around, so his title chances for 2022 are looking pretty good.
Check out twosoftcompounds.com for the latest news, competitions and updates.
Right, so this weekend, of course, it is the American Grand Prix. It's back-to-back races, so we're going straight off to America. Oh, beautiful, oh, graciously. home of Donald Trump, and this weekend, the home of the American Grand Prix in Texas. One of my favourite states. I went travelling and I drove across America, and we did 31 of the states that we covered in that trip. And Texas was well up there. Probably was my favourite state. Austin, Texas was an amazing place. It's a great place. It's, like you say, lots of spectacle. It's Liberty Media's home race, really. Hamilton loves this circuit. A lot of the drivers love it, but Hamilton loves it and has always done pretty well in this circuit. And Hamilton now needs, I think he's 4 points adrift, isn't he? So he needs to finish seventh or better in this race. Whatever Bottas does and he wins his sixth world title. And then, of course, as we've said before, the rule changes don't really happen next year. So he can potentially win his seventh next year and equal the greatest of all time, Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot closer next year because the other teams will have caught up and obviously they'll do more development over the winter and then you've got testing. And so minimal rule changes will, I think, make it a lot closer between the top three and give the rest of the teams a chance to sharpen up their act as well. So it could be a really good year next year, as we've said many times. Austin, Texas, yeah, good track. I like the gradient change on the start-finish straight with a very sharp turn one. Then you've got the S's. Then you've got the hairpin and the long back straight. And then you've got some fiddly twisty bits in the middle of the lap.
Technical term?
Yeah, fiddly twisty little bits. You've got the gradient changes and stuff. And I think it's a track the drivers like. This is the track which notoriously has no gravel or grass runoff. It's all concrete runoff or tarmac runoff. So this is the track where no doubt they'll introduce penalties for people running all four wheels off the track, as we've seen happen before. Verstappen got penalised for it in the race a couple of years ago. It's also the race where Kimi Raikkonen had his last ever Formula One win in the Ferrari last year, if you remember. As you just mentioned, can you imagine Kimi coming through the stage on top of his car if he wins another race? I mean, just look.
Spice Girls style.
Completely.
With his arms crossed.
Uninterested.
Why are you making me do this? Why are you making me do this? This is awful.
Brilliant. But yeah, it should be a good race. Mercedes have been blisteringly fast here in the past, as have Ferrari. I think, once again, we'll go into this weekend with Ferrari having the slight edge. Certainly in qualifying, they seem to have an amazing one-lap pace. And in the race, you know, it could be down to their strategy calls again. They can't get caught out for a second week on the run by Mercedes doing a better strategy than them.
Yeah, and I've just got a funny feeling. Lewis doesn't like to win things. You know, he likes to do it in style, doesn't he? And I've got a funny feeling myself that he loves this race. He loves Austin. He loves Texas. I've got a funny feeling he's going to win this race and he's going to win the championship by winning the race. I don't know why. I just think it's going to be his race this weekend. Like I say, he's only got to finish seventh and he's won the title. So he's basically got it in the bag this weekend. Whatever happens, Ferraris will do okay this weekend, I think. I think the Red Bulls will be up there again. But again, what's going to happen with Mad Max doing his overtakes? But yeah, I've just got a funny feeling that this weekend is going to be all about Hamilton. It wouldn't surprise me if Hamilton got pole and won the race and we all went, wow, there he goes, sixth world title, he's done it in style, you know, complete cleanup over the weekend. Stranger things have certainly happened.
Yeah, and you know what as well, if I was a betting man, I would have a couple of quid on Albon getting on the podium for the first time this season. I don't know why. I think it would take someone to fall off in front of him perhaps, or someone with a pit stop problem or something. But I think Albon is just consistently creeping up every single race and keeping his cool, which Max just isn't. So I think Albon could end up on the podium this weekend. I'd love to see it. So my top three, I think it'll be either Lewis or Vettel on pole. I think Vettel just seems to have got his mojo back. And you could tell that after the podium in Mexico. He was so relaxed. Did you see he had a beer?
Yes, I did see that. Yeah, the press conference.
He arranged for a beer for him and Bottas after the podium. I thought that just seems so chilled out, not under pressure. So I think Vettel will do well. I think in the race, yeah, you know what? I go Lewis the win, Vettel second, Albon third.
Okay, interesting. Well, it's going to be an exciting US Grand Prix this weekend. We'll be back next week, of course, to dissect it all and give you our thoughts on the race. Enjoy it.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.